You're listening to Gifted with Sheila White, a podcast that will inspire you. Its purpose is to uplift and entertain creatives to pursue their passions through their gifts. Sheila White is a film and television producer, author, and entrepreneur. And in each episode, Sheila talks with gifted individuals about their journey and the lessons they've learned. It will also inspire you to make an impact, living your best purpose-driven life with clarity. And now, here's your host, Sheila White.
Welcome to another episode of Gifted with Sheila White. Wow, we got something good. I mean, good on today. Better than Campbell soup, you all. You know what? We're going to be talking to Goddess the Warrior on today. And you know, poetry is a unique and expressive form of writing that can offer a wealth of insight into the author's thoughts, feelings, and expressions. We're going to be talking about spoken word poetry today, and it's specifically designed and intended for live audiences and performances. It's very engaging and entertaining and emotionally moving. And our guest today is going to bring us all of that. Now, our guest today is Diana Tyler, and she's also known as Goddess, the Warrior, the Prophet, the Poet. She's also prophetic, you all. Okay. She's a published author and a 2021 Chicago Music Award Best Spoken Artist, Word Artist, a 2001 National Spoken Word Award for the Best Female Poet, and a 2022 recipient of the Top 20 Chicago's Woman of Excellence Award. So, wow, we got an award-winning artist on today. She's the mother of twin boys and a domestic violence survivor and an advocate against violence of all kinds. I want to welcome Goddess to the show, you all. Like, I am pumped on today. Welcome, Goddess.
Good morning.
Wow, we have got something for you all today. You know what? We're going to deep sea dive here a little bit. And I want to ask you about poetry. We're going to get into that. How has poetry changed your life? Because you've got all these awards and things have changed, you know? So how has poetry changed your life? I want to first begin there.
Man, poetry changed my life in such an incredible way. It's taken me places that I never imagined that I can go performing spoken word. So many people told me, oh, you talk too much, or poets don't get paid. There's no money in poetry. There's no money in spoken word, you know. But I was able to go around the world with spoken word and doing poetry. Poetry has taken me out of the country. It has gotten me on platforms like the Sheila White podcast.
Yes,
it's gotten me on platforms such as WGN television. It's gotten me on great levels that I've never thought that I would be exposed to. And it didn't come from me working a job or, you know, a 9-to-5. It came from me pursuing my dream. And that dream opened up doors that I never imagined that I would walk through.
You know, you are so transparent and so authentic. When I was hearing your poetry, I was just like blown away. I mean, you were speaking with authority. You knew exactly who you were and what you're talking about. So how are you? Why is it important for you to be so authentic and transparent in your poetry? Because some people just spit poetry out. There's no connection. It's just a rhyme and things like that. But why is it important for you to be authentic in your poetry?
That is a great question. And I can relate to what you are referring to in regards to people just spitting and, you know, there's no substance. Right. So I was always taught, and I truly do believe that, you want to make people feel something, you know. For me, it's all about the impact. And you definitely want to tap into being transparent, because As the old saying goes, real recognize real, right?
Wow.
And so as we continue to be real and we be transparent, people feel that. People resonate with that when you can address real life issues, real things that people have gone through or have experienced. And they like, man, I feel you, you know? So for me, that's extremely important, because it taps into my following. It taps into my supporters, and they want to rock with you. They want to support you. They want to continue to show up and listen to what it is that you have to say when they know that you're speaking the truth.
Yeah. You know, when did you start doing spoken word? Because you're a mother of twins. It's not easy. Two for one, for the price of one, as they say. It's not easy. So when did you start doing poetry?
So actually, I've been writing spoken word and writing poetry since I was a kid, since I was a child. But I got into it professionally. I started out at an open mic in Chicago back in 2012, and I've been doing it ever since. So here we are, a good 12 years later. I've been doing spoken word for over a decade now.
Wow, 12 years, 12 years. So you started 12 years ago when you got started with doing poetry. Now, when you got started, did you have the same name? How did you come up with the name Goddess, the Warrior? Because you could have just said Goddess, you could have said Warrior, but you strung it all together.
At first it was just Goddess Warrior, and then Goddess Warrior, the poet, kind of came about 5 to 6 years later when I chose to go into poetry as a profession, and I branded it, and it became an LLC. So Goddess Warrior, the poet, is an LLC as well. You know, I am my business. I'm a walking entrepreneur. I am the product, right? And so in that sense, is when I added the poet to it. But I started out as just Goddess Warrior, and I came up with the name honestly because during the time I was a member of a community center called the African Village and Cultural Center in Chicago, and at the African Village, I learned a lot about my roots, and I learned a lot about just truly being a child of God and knowing yourself, right? And so that's where the goddess part came from, because I always felt that I was more than a woman. I was more than just a Black woman. I was more than a queen. And with me truly identifying with being a child of God, that would make me in turn a goddess, right? When you truly know your what's embedded in you. And so the warrior part came from all the things that I've conquered, the things that I've had to fight through throughout my life, the things that I survived. It made me a warrior. It made me a fighter. It made me a conqueror. I'm an Aries, so I'm a natural fire sign. You know, I got that warrior blood in me already. So the goddess and the warrior kind of became a part of who I was, who I am, and what I identify with.
Now, do you what are some of the ideas that you explore in poetry? Because like we were talking about, some people just spit. They just go for the rhyme, not necessarily for the reason, but just for the rhyme. But when you spit poetry, so to speak, there seems to be an idea that you're getting across. You're talking about God. You're talking about heritage. You're talking about who you are as a person, the substance of the character of the person. So how do you go about exploring the ideas when you're coming forward with your poetry? Because you're just not grabbing, you know, something and just saying it. It seems to have so much depth to it.
Yes. In terms of that, I would say, you know, the ideas that I come up with are spirit led. You know, I look at the things that are going on in our communities, things that are going on in our households, things that people are often afraid to speak up about. That's something that I don't identify with fear in any aspect. You know, don't get me wrong. You know, I got maybe a little arachnophobia with a spider or something, you know, but when it comes to life, and the things that we tend to go through, there's no fear. I'm all about faith. And when you got big faith, there's nothing to fear. There's nothing to be afraid of. I trust God in every aspect of my life. So I even trust him when it comes to the ideas that he puts on my heart to address to the people. If God gave me this message, then this means this is the message that I'm supposed to portray. This is the message I'm supposed to relay to the people. Because that's what it's all about. It's not just about me. It's always bigger than me. It's always about the message. So my ideas come from God. I take my time to listen, and I'm obedient to what the Spirit gives me.
So your belief and what God speaks to you, your personal experience, this influences your writing as you're writing your poetry. You're not just coming off Mary Had a Little Lamb, Speaks as White as Snow. Your belief in it dictates how you write and things like that. Like you said, you're hearing something on the inside and things like that. So your inspiration, who are some of the people that inspire you? Because your poetry is so, like I said, it's heavy. You know what I'm saying? It's like a message. It's like a little sermonette. So who are some of the people that inspire you along those lines? Because like I said, there's so many out there and they're all over the place on the spectrum. But you seem to have a niche in your poetry.
I've been inspired by some of the greatest musicians, artists, you know, Marvin Gaye, Nina Simone, of course, Maya Angelou, Nikki Giovanni. You know, these people. And there are some Chicago artists who are also legends. On the poetry scene here, you got Emerald Green, Black Ice of Chicago, you know, people like that, you know, have always inspired me and encouraged me to continue to pursue this dream. They've seen how far they've gone in their careers. You also got people like Jay Ivey. Jay Ivey was one of the first poets that I listened to in high school. He's a poet from Chicago, and he recently won a Grammy. And he opened the doors for poets to be able to win something as large as a Grammy, right? But I listened to Jay Ivey back in 2002. 2001, I was in high school from 2000 to 2004. But one of the first poems that I had did, I was a talent show. I'll never forget. It was a talent show at our school. And everybody, we was all in the rap back then. So, of course, everybody would try to think they could freestyle. And, you know, you wanted to be the next 50 Cent or something. And so back then, everybody's like, God, you should, well, that wasn't even my name back then. My nickname back then. Whoa. They like, you should get in this talent show. And so I was listening to Jay Ivey on Kanye West's album back then, and he did some poetry on a song. And that song had impacted me in such a way, in the words that he said. So I ended up doing that poem in the talent show in high school. And that's really what led to me being inspired to write my own poetry. So I have been writing since then, you know. And yeah, so that's what kind of catapulted that. And people like Jay Ivey continue to inspire me to take this to the next level, because doors like the Grammys are opening up. You're seeing spoken word on commercials and in TV shows and things like that now. And I have some opportunities like that getting ready to come up for me as well. So I'm thankful for the gift.
You know, you speaking of Black Ivory and being a Grammy award winning person, you yourself is up for submitted a project that's called Anomaly Alive. Let's talk about that Grammy submission a little bit since you brought that up. Tell us about that.
So the Anomaly Alive project was a part of the movement. It was a part of the movement that led to the opening of the category for the Grammys to say that there is going to be a spoken word category. So Jay Ivey, along with the other catalysts from Chicago and a couple guys from other poets, they all got together and said, in order for us to do this, we need poets to submit music. We need poets to submit recorded albums or live recorded albums. And so I put together a live album. It was literally live performances. Like, we was recording the audio from me speaking at graduation ceremonies, anywhere while I was in a large arena with a lot of people. Because on that album, I actually was at a graduation I spoke at on that album, and there was a room of over 4,000 people, close to 5,000 people. And the audio is just immaculate. But we took that album and that project and we submitted it to the Grammys. The Grammys needed us to submit over 100 poetry albums. And so I submitted one that year, and me submitting that album also assisted in the Grammys opening up that category. So I was a part of some history being made, and I'm grateful to God for that.
Wow. Now, speaking of music artists, you participated in a music video, and what was that like? Was that project that you worked with, or was it a separate, because you work with music people as well? There's music, you're there.
I worked with quite a few musicians, singers, spoken word artists, rappers, things of that nature. The art is the arts. I love all type of arts. Is definitely a powerful thing. But yes, I have done quite a bit when it comes to that. Yes, ma'am.
See, music, spoken word, Grammy nominated, working with all these music artists and things like that. You just got to take a breath. That's all I can say. You just got to take a breath, because there's a lot happening. There's a lot going on. Now, I want to ask you a little bit about, do you have a creative block, or what do you do with that? Because all of this stuff is coming at you. You're a creative person, and it's just like stuff, you're hearing things, you can see something and it'll inspire you. Do you ever get creative blocks in what you do?
No, I tell you, those do happen. Those happen. Yeah. Those tend to happen under stress and lack of rest is what I learned over the years. I create best when I get rest, when I tend to, you know, you wake up, or, you know, sometimes I get up in the middle of the night, God puts something on me, I'll get up and write it. And there's also been times when I've been called on and I had to do something impromptu. I just did it 2 days ago, Saturday, my nephew's wedding. I had just found out my nephew was getting married on Thursday. The wedding was Saturday. I get to the wedding and his mom's like, did you write a poem for the wedding? I said, nobody asked me to. I said, I just found out about a wedding Thursday. So during the ceremony, while they were saying their vows and everything like that, I wrote a poem for the bride and groom in the middle of the ceremony, and I said it at the reception, and it was God given, and I'm grateful to be able to be gifted like that, to even write on cue, or you know, come up with something on cue, and God be able to speak to me, and the words just flow. But there are often times when we do experience blockage, and as a creative, I had to learn what to block out, you know, what to not to allow to affect me, yeah. So that it's like, oh man, this is draining me, or I can't write, I can't create, I can't think straight. You know, when those type of things happen, and you recognize that, we have to learn to separate ourselves.
You know, it's important when you say that, because a lot of times people have challenges, and there's things that are going on in their life, things that are going on around them. And they still, as a creative, they have to do what they have to do to get through the performance. I want to talk a little bit about some of the challenges that you have, because you're so transparent in talking about domestic violence and sexual abuse and trauma. Trauma comes in all forms. You can have financial trauma and hunger deficits and all types of trauma that can affect not just physical abuse, but verbal abuse. So I want to talk about why is that so important for you to share that message, and you're so transparent about it, you know. So let's talk a little bit about that and helping people to understand that as a creative, how you've come through and overcome those challenges.
Well, I started doing poetry after the loss of my parents.
Okay.
In 2009, yeah. My father killed my mom, and then he committed suicide. So that trauma, I spoke at my dad's funeral. I said a poem at my father's funeral in 2009. And after that, I stopped writing. I didn't speak or write anything for a few years. And then in 2012, a few years later, my cousin, she, you know, pulling my leg, and she's like, hey, cuz, you need to come speak again. You need to tell your poetry. You need to come tell your story. I need you to come to this open mic. Shout out to my cousin, Doreen Morrow, Morrow Jones. But yeah, it was because of that moment and experiencing that trauma that I wrote this poetry up, and I decided to tell my story. And it's in that transparency and sharing the vulnerability and being open and honest about experiencing such a devastating trauma.
Yeah.
And like you said, in our communities, it's so prevalent that it's something that everybody can understand and relate to. Yeah. So I give God the glory that I'm able to be an example of what it looks like to come through the trauma, to make it out of it, to still be prosperous in it, to still find joy and the strength to crack a smile, to be grateful for the sun that grazes my cheek, even though I experience something like that. So when I do spoken word and I tell my story in every room that I go in, it doesn't matter who's in the room. It doesn't matter what degrees they have, what level of politician they are. I'm telling my story. I have to be open and honest about it every time, because they need to see that just because we experience these things, it doesn't always kill us. It doesn't always turn us into crackheads and alcoholics. And you know what I mean? It doesn't always, that's not always the result. So I have to show that you can overcome, you know what I'm saying? When you have that faith and you truly do lean on the power of the Most High, you have that connection with God, it becomes more than just a healing. It becomes something that you can assist others in their healing. And that's what I've been doing with this gift.
Wow. You know, how has your poetry evolved over time? Because you started out like, okay, I'm just going to do a little spoken word at school, and then things happen. And then later on, this traumatic experience happened with the death of your parents. And you just have gone through so much, you know, challenges and triumphs and highs and lows in life. As you were saying, how has your poetry been affected by that? And how has it evolved from that, you know, down through the years, from when you started up to now?
Well, it's made me more powerful now.
Okay.
In the beginning, when I first started out, I lacked confidence. You know, I was still reading from paper. I was still learning how to memorize, how to recite. So over the years, you know, me performing over a decade now, I've developed a certain level of professionalism when it comes to cadence, when it comes to sound, when it comes to understanding acoustics, you know, projection, being able to control a room and work a room, noticing what it is that people are responding to and things of that nature. So over time, poetry has definitely helped me to elevate as an orator, as a speaker, you know, articulation and things of that nature. because you want to be heard, but you also want people to understand. You don't want somebody, you know, because I've seen poetry like that. You know, I've seen politicians talk like that. Like, what did he say? You know, like what is that language? What language is that? Right. So some people mumble, and, you know, a lot of people don't know too that what most people don't know, that the number one fear in the world is public speaking. Yes. So to be able to combat that fear and to overcome that fear and to conquer it and get on stage and to make an impact, spoken word has elevated me to that level. Well, I'm comfortable enough with speaking right at the drop of a dime. You know, so sometimes I'll walk in a room and they like, you next. I'm next. Okay. You ready? Yep. I'm ready. You know what I mean? Wow. So that's what it's done for me now. It's helped me to be prepared in every circumstance, in every situation. I'm ready to go.
Now, you know, there are some young people that are out there that they're creators. They can write and they can just write poetry, but they haven't gotten to the point where they can project and have the cadence and have the confidence that you have. What would you say to those creatives out there that they're in poetry, they're writing it? Like you said, you started out as a little girl writing poetry and things like that, but, you know, they just don't have that confidence. How do you help them, or what advice would you give to a young aspiring poet to be able to just get started and not be afraid of, you know, like you said, they may have to start out reading or something like that. And but they don't have that confidence, because you're right. That is the number one fear, public speaking. So it's okay to write it down on paper, but they're not comfortable with sharing it. But like you said, that's where it's a form of, you can get paid doing that. You know what I'm saying? So what would you say to a young aspiring artist that would like to do what you do, following your footsteps, but they don't know how to get the holographic grip off of them. They're just kind of holding on and things like that.
The first thing that I would say, which is something that I tell all young people, because I speak to young people often, I would say that there to remember that there is no right or wrong. When it comes to your poetry, when it comes to giving your opinion, when it comes to telling your truth, to speaking about your experiences, your thoughts, you know, things that God are putting into you, there is no right or wrong. Nobody can say what you wrote is wrong. You know, you tell your truth and be confident in that. That's the first thing that I would say, that there is no right or wrong when it comes to telling your story in spoken word. There is no right or wrong. The second thing that I would say is to practice, right? Someone once said to me, practice doesn't make perfect, practice makes permanent, right? Mm-hmm. So nobody's perfect, right? Even Jordan missed some shots, you know what I'm saying? He wasn't perfect, but he became permanated. It was permanent, you know what I'm saying, in his position. So we want to practice, and the best way to get practice as an artist is to do these open mics, karaoke's, open mics, every opportunity that you have to read from your phone, to read from your notebook, do it. Because as long as you continue to practice and continue to do it, eventually that same poem that you was reading from your notebook, the third, fourth time you go back to that open mic, you're going to just know it. You're going to just recite it from there. So just, you know, it's all about the practicing, taking the time to understand that it's your truth and being confident in that. I would say that.
You know, you've won so many awards. You've done so many things. You've traveled all over the world. What is one of the most important accomplishments that you would say you've reached so far? Because your resume is extensive, you know what I'm saying? And there are people looking up to you the way that you were looking up to, you know, the Grammy artists and other artists and poets. Some of the awards that you received, what's the most closest to your heart? Because you work a lot in the Black community, speaking up against, you know, violence of all types, you know what I'm saying? And being an advocate. But which award means the most to you of all the things you've done and places you've been, people you've met?
Last year, I received an award on my mother's behalf. It was there is a an organization that highlights women of domestic violence. They highlight survivors and victims.
Yes.
And I speak at this organization's event annually. It's called the She Who Rises Gala. And that's done by Sister Lachelle Evans Beard. But she honored my mom last year, and I was able to receive an award on her behalf.
Okay.
And for me, often, you know, I receive awards for my spoken word, for poetry all the time. And I tell my story all the time. But what people tend to forget is that it's not just my story I'm telling. It's my mother's.
Wow.
And for somebody to take time out to award my mother as a survivor and as a victim, and to award me as a fighter and as an advocate to say, I'm being awarded for keeping her alive, for keeping her story alive.
Wow.
That's probably the most rewarding award that I've ever received. And I have several out. I definitely do. But receiving an award on my mother's behalf, it taught me and it gave me the courage to continue to tell her story and to tell mine, because she does live through me.
Yeah. You know, let's talk a little bit about your being an author, because you published certain books, and you don't just have a list of poetry paper stacked somewhere. You're actually a published author. So let's talk a little bit about your published work that you've done and how you're sharing that with communities all over the world.
Yes. I published a book during COVID, during the pandemic.
During the most trying time.
While I was stuck in the house like everybody else. I chose to write. And so I wrote, and I worked online and everything, got you know, graphic designer to do the cover and edit it and everything like that. And the publishing, everything was done online.
Yeah.
But I did it during quarantine. And since everybody was locked indoors and we could only do things outside, I actually had a first ever in history that I know of. But I did a on the pull-up book signing. And I posted on the corner of my old neighborhood. And I set up the backdrop table full of books, and I put out snacks and waters, and we had masks and hand sanitizer, and people pulled up in their cars. I'll never forget. I had a line. You thought I was giving away free food. There was a line of cars, and people was pulling up in their cars. And I was walking up selling books. And I said, hey, if they could sling dope on the corner, I could sell my books on the corner, okay?
There you go.
And I'll never forget doing that. But yes, I published a book during the COVID, during the pandemic, and it's called Poems and Petty, S-H-I-T. It was a transition coming up with that title. But I came up with it like that because I felt that everybody has gone through some petty experiences in their life. Everybody's gone through something petty or felt like somebody did them wrong or went through a petty situation with someone. There's parts of the book where I'm expressing things that I've gone through with people who I felt did me wrong, right? Everything in that book, though, is all true stories, true real life experiences, including my testimony with my parents and some of the poems that kind of catapulted my career, poems about me experiencing sexual abuse as a child, poems about my identity and things like that, and how I grew into identifying with myself. That book is near and dear to me because it's more than just a book of poems, but those poems align with it being a little bit of an autobiography.
Now, what is one of your favorite poems or favorite lines in your poetry? Because it's such a vast amount of work that you have done. Is there a poem that I know your mom is, like you said, is really special to you, and there's honors that you have received in honor of your mom. But is there a certain line or a certain poem that just every time you go there, it just does something for you?
So there's a poem on my album. I also have another album online called More Than a Woman, Introduction of a Goddess. And that album talks about my experience with becoming a mother just kind of how I felt at that time. And so there's a poem on that album. It's called More Than a Woman. Yeah. And that poem is that poem that you're referring to. That's the piece that I connect with the most, that when I do it, it's nothing nobody could tell me. I know I'm finna kill it. I know I'm finna this, that one. You know, I connect with the strongest because it's truly who I am. It's truly how I feel about myself. I've always felt that I was more than a woman. And becoming who I am today, becoming goddess and identifying with myself as a goddess and a child of God, that piece, More Than a Woman, means everything to me. That's my heart right there. That's my real baby right there.
Okay. Now let's talk a little bit about faith over fear, because like I said, just this listening to all the things that have happened and things you've gone through. And when you say Grammys and songs and, you know, just starting out with the things that have been handed to you, you know what I'm saying? How do you have faith over the fear? Because it sounds like it's triumph after triumph after triumph. And most people would be afraid and would stop. They would just give up.
You know, and I'll tell you the best way I could put this.
Okay.
For this question. When I first lost my parents in 2009, and I had to sit on a pew at my mother's funeral and my dad's, no one could have told me, don't cry. 10 years from now, you're going to be a award-winning international poet. You're going to be a successful artist. You're going to be getting paid to travel and speak and tell your story. No one could have convinced me, sitting on that pew 15 years ago, because now this year will be 15 years since I lost my parents. No one could have told me 15 years ago, like, hey, don't worry. Like, tell me my future. Like, no one could have given, no psychic, no hand reader, no tarot card reader. No one could have read me and told me that this is what God is going to do for you.
Wow.
But the fact that God has done these things, and I've remained faithful, and I've, you know, the pastor just said in the service yesterday, that God will open doors for you because you have kept my name. I experienced these things. It's just like what Job went through. My faith never wavered. I had some moments where I may have questioned God, but I never wavered in my faith. I always kept that mustard seed, and I believed and trusted that I didn't experience something like that for no reason. And knowing that is what allowed me to keep my faith and hold on to my faith. So I said, hey, if my mother was shot in front of me, what else is there to be afraid of? What's the worst that can happen? If I lost both parents at the same time, then there has to be nothing but great things from here on out. What's the worst that can happen after the worst of the worst happens? You know what I'm saying? So all I needed to do was be faithful, was to trust in God, was to trust that as long as I remained faithful to God, that God was going to provide for me. I had no idea that God was going to take me all the way to Ghana, that God was going to have me on TV, that God was going to put me in magazines and on podcasts. And you know what I'm saying? I had no idea that God was going to take me around the world, but I trusted him. And I still do. I still believe that I didn't experience something like that for no reason. So my faith is everything. It makes me extremely fearless. And I can go into rooms with mayors and corporate leaders. And, you know, I can go into these rooms with these millionaires and I don't feel small. I don't feel lesser than. I feel bigger than, I feel greater than, because I may not have your financial value, but my value is greater because you have no idea. You don't even know what it feels like to walk in my shoes. Wow. You have no idea the things that I've conquered, the type of courage and strength that God has given me to be able to be in this room with you all. They should be feel little in my presence. Okay. My faith over fear. It's all because of everything that I have experienced. I feel like, what else is there to fear? What else is there to be afraid of? I know that God protects me. I'm so connected to the Spirit. I don't fear anything at all. I truly trust God with everything in me. And I know God knows that about me. I know he believes it to be true.
Wow. You know, a lot of people talk about self-preservation, and they say, put on your mask and then secure the mask on the person next to you. When you talk about self-preservation, you're talking about security. Security is your self-care. How do you explain that to people when you talk about self-care? Because it's a little different when you say security. Your mental health. Okay.
I'll explain that. Self-care, because insecurity, when you're insecure about yourself, but insecurity, that lack of security is also due to a lack of love. You know what I'm saying? And I'm explaining it. I'll smile.
Yes,
I'll give you a big smile, okay?
Yes.
I'm missing all kinds of teeth, okay? I need all kinds of dental work. But I don't lack no confidence. I'm not insecure about it because I love myself. I love everything that God has given unto me. And once people can truly accept that, then what is there to be insecure about? You know what I mean? Self-care is self-love. Self-care is self-admiration. Self-preservation is understanding your connection to the God that roots you in your preservation, knowing what it is that preserves you. I'm not just preserved by food and water. I'm preserved by the light.
Come on now.
To the light.
Yes,
we need
yes.
light and water. That's really what you need to survive. You really only need light and water. As long as we got sunlight and water, you'll survive for a mighty long time.
Yeah, you're right.
That self-preservation is all about your connection to God. We can't preserve ourselves in anything else. I think that's the problem. We look for everything else to sustain us, to be preserved. You know, you see, you buy food, it say no preservatives. So, you know, it ain't going to last that long because it ain't got nothing to preserve it. But when you preserve yourself, when you understand what preserves you, you know, I think that's the difference. People are insecure because of they lack a relationship with God. And that in turn is a lack of mental health. God will give you your right sound mind. And when you got your right sound mind, you're able to think properly. You're able to be confident in your walk. So there is no need to be insecure. There is no need to lack the love for yourself. You're able to give love and to be strong and to understand that that's where your preservation comes from.
Now, what's next for Goddess the Poet? Because the warrior poet, because there's so many things that you've already accomplished and you have to keep pushing the envelope. You got to keep pushing the envelope and pushing the envelope to do more and to be greater and to reach more souls, you know, for the kingdom, so to speak. What's next? What is it that you have in your heart that you're looking at doing?
Right now, the next thing that I have coming up, I have a big project getting ready to drop. I was selected to be a part of a short film, a docuseries. They doing a documentary on myself and me telling my story and everything. Okay. And the film is going to be submitted to the film festivals around the country and several states. And I'm just grateful to God for what type of exposure that this is going to bring. So I got that coming up. The name of the film, people are going to be looking out for it. It's actually, I titled it, Never Would Have Thought. Because after losing my parents at the same time, I never would have thought that all of this would have transpired after experiencing something like that. I never would have thought that poetry would have taken me around the world. I never would have thought that I would become a published author. I never would have thought that these things would have transpired. So the film is called Never Would Have Thought. And you guys can look out for that this summer. It'll be in Chicago, in a couple of theaters in Chicago this summer, and then short film festivals around the country.
Wow. Now, how can our audience get a hold of you to get some of your poetry, to be able to have you come to their event and to be able to do spoken word?
I love to say this. You can Google me. I'm Googleable. I love to say that.
Okay.
I love to say that. But no, you can Google me. When you put me in your Google search, every link, every website that I can be found on will absolutely come up. You just type in Goddess Warrior the Poet, every link to my music, my albums, my Amazon link to my book, my YouTube channel, because I have videos all over YouTube. I'm tagged in so many videos over Facebook. You just type Goddess Warrior the Poet in and every platform will come up, everything.
Wow. I mean, people are following Goddess, the Warrior Prophet, like poet, like just, I mean, there's thousands of people that know about you and that are following you, that really admire your work. Is there anything else you want to say or share with our audience? Because I am just full. I'm just like, I have to take a breath because I'm telling you, it's so much that you're doing and so much that you're involved in. You are a heart-centered messenger, girl. I'm telling you.
I would like to leave the people with a word.
Yes.
And I know we talked a lot about faith and I just, I just believe that the world we're living in, and there's just so much going on, there's so much to address, you know, Black Lives Matter and all of the sex trafficking and kidnapping, and it's just a lot of things that are happening. I want to remind people of what's in the Word, what's in the Bible, and something to be mindful of. So recently, of course, due to social media, there's a lot of conscious folk, you know, we got people who believe in Jesus, some people who don't, you know, and things of that nature, right? So when I was in that, because there's people who struggle with their faith, there's people who are struggling in understanding who and what God is. So I want to encourage people, something that I have started doing in my journey, I started praying to the God who created Lucifer. Mm. We have to remember that Lucifer himself was an angel. But he was casted out. That's what the word says. The word says that Lucifer was casted out, that he was an angel, one of God's most favorite angels. Lucifer could sing, right?
Yeah.
So I want to remind people, when you get confused in your faith and you don't know who to pray to the God that created evil as well. If God created Lucifer, God created the devil, then go to that God. Pray to that God. Ask, because that God is the true living God. That's the true living God that created Jesus, that created Lucifer, that created the heavens and the earth, and the God of the book of Genesis that gave us the sun, the moon, and the birds and the fish of the sea. I'm talking about the God that created the heavens and the earth and the universe. So when we get confused in our journeys, I want to encourage people to go to that God, go to the God of the light, and he will truly guide your footsteps. I want to encourage people to do that. We're living in a time where we don't know who to turn to. We don't know if Christ is real. We don't know to follow Buddha. We don't know if we should be Allah or we should do this or that. Right, you know, there's so many different versions of who and what God is. So when you get confused, tap into yourself and tap into the God that created you and the God that created all things.
Yes.
You cannot go no wrong when you go to the divine creator. So I want to lead the people with that and encourage them to remain faithful. And to just trust in God, man, you ain't going through what you're going through for no reason.
Wow. Powerful. And that's just from the heart. That was just from the tip right there. That wasn't even self-motivated. She didn't write it down this morning. That was just from the heart. What comes from the heart reaches the heart. You should have wrote that down. That'd be a good one. That would be good. Just knowing who you are, knowing your identity, knowing that there's somebody greater out there, to pray to somebody greater, to reach for someone greater. And that's what it's all about. I just want to thank you so much, Goddess the Warrior Prophet, for being our special guest on today. You've brought the sunshine. You brought the sunshine, I'm telling you, on today. And I just really pray that our audience out there listening, young and old, are able to take what you said and put it into something, a seed that can grow so that it can germinate inside of them and that they could become better. They could become transformed by the renewing of their mind, have more self-confidence, self-awareness, more mental health security of who they are and things like that, knowing that it's not about fear, it's about faith, is what you said earlier. And we so appreciate your inspiration, your motivation. And I know that you're going straight to the top nonstop. So high to the devil can't clock you, girl. That's what I'm saying. So I'm so proud of you.
Thank you for having me on. And I look forward to being a guest again.
Yes. We got to definitely have you coming on again. Congratulations on all the upcoming awards and the movie project as well. We'll be looking for that. We want you all that are listening to us, if you have not heard this entire broadcast, I want you to visit our website at www.road2eternity.net. You'll find Goddess the Warrior Prophet's information on there. I want you to look her up, support her, follow her, be able to just be in her presence and hear her great work that she's doing. She's really making a difference. She's a mom. And when you have twins, it's like double trouble, you know, so she's just not out there by herself. She's out there working hard on Christmas Eve, trying to make a difference. And so I want you all to support her work that she's doing. She's talking about overcoming trauma, overcoming fear, you know, knowing your peace, knowing God and things like that is so important. It's so important. And she's found a way to heal through the creative arts, and that's through the spoken word. So thank you so much for being our special guest today. Like I said, folks, if you didn't hear this entire broadcast, visit our website for more information. I want you to know that you are uniquely designed and strategically gifted. Use your gifts the way that Goddess the Warrior Prophet is using hers to make a difference. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening to Gifted with Sheila White. We hope you understand how your gifts can make an impact on the world. Gifted with Sheila White is produced by Road to Eternity, a film and television production company.